In the advisory bodies, there's IUCN, ICOMOS, and ICRAM. Basically, I don't know, I think you probably know, because of your interest in both sides of the convention, you probably know how each of them functioned a bit, and I'd be interested in your assessment of their performance at that time.
The people who did the writing, Henry Clear and others, you know, and representing various things, I suppose those two bodies, and having sat on the board of the ICOMOS one, were just keen to get things on the World Heritage List. So they didn't look too hard, I don't think, at critical issues. Or they'd fudge things a bit if it supported members on the board. I mean, there would be...
Of the board of ICOMOS.
Of the board of ICOMOS, you see. There was a slight conflict of interest, and that was true of IUCN. I mean, you know, the IUCN reviewer could hardly dump on and then expect that to get back to... he could hardly write a report saying, I don't think this should go on the World Heritage List, and expect the members of that country to then support him. I mean, I suspect that might have even been true of Canada. I mean, I don't know. But certainly Australians put a lot of pressure on Thorsell when he came out here to put everything on the list that we'd nominated. I saw that. I was probably part of it. Did he kowtow to us? I suppose to some extent we gave him a good time. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. To some extent, professional judgment. I'm sure he would have brought professional judgment. But ditto for the ICOMOS people. They were keen to see things on the World Heritage List, particularly in the early years. They wanted to populate this thing called the World Heritage List. And so there was pressure to do that. There was more pressure on countries to put forward nominations. I think that started this flood that then became a kind of matter of national hubris to try and get more places on than, you know, I've got more places than you sort of thing on the World Heritage List. And that was a very bad thing. And I actually don't know. I mean, I was party to it. How would you have turned it off? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
You were in the room and heard, I guess IUCN would have been, the first couple of years you were there, would have been Jeff McNeely.
Yeah.
And then Jim Thorsell.
Yeah, yeah.
On that, the natural side.
McNeely was very smart cooking.
What was their advice seemed to be strong and clear?
It was very rarely critical of sites. I can remember much more a specific case where I thought we did the wrong thing in ICOMOS, and we were put under huge pressure. Because on the one hand, there was me on the board of ICOMOS saying, what about Asia and South Asia and the Pacific and all those other places that should be part of ICOMOS? On the other hand, up comes a nomination for nomination for a big city. It's a very important site in southeastern India, and the nomination was terrible. I mean, it was inaccurate. It didn't even have the maps weren't right, and the arguments for it were poor, and as far as we could tell, it was being badly managed. And ICOMOS came under terrific pressure from our new Indian member to support it. So they did.
But in coming back to ICOMOS, just to close off on that, because you were part of that panel, or not panel so much as board, I guess, I imagine there was quite a cultural conflict between the understanding of heritage in among many of the members, because ICOMOS was really a European...
Sure.
A creation, and then opened up to this much broader world. And I don't know if you recall any of the conflicts around that.
There was opening up to the broader world was what I was engaged in, and when I first went on with Raymond Lemaire there, and it was very intellectual, inspirational man in some respects, but very difficult in others, who had a very Eurocentric view of the world, in my view. When he was followed by Michel Parent, who also had was again a brilliant man. I believe had been a fantastic restoration architect. He was, in my view, again, very, very Eurocentric, and I spent a lot of time on the board of ICOMOS trying to get them to address the other two-thirds of the world's population that lived in Asia and the Pacific.